Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us again today. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here. And today we're actually wrapping up a series we've been in for the last several weeks. It's kind of perfect timing because as we're wrapping up this series, a lot of us are wrapping up something we all had to adapt to in this season. If you have children, especially elementary age, college age, high school, middle school, we've all sort of had to adapt to e-learning. This idea that for the last 2 months, our students have been learning at home. And I have three sons, David, John, and Jacob. And it's been really fascinating over the last few months just to observe the way they've approached e-learning differently, because the setup has been the same for all three of them. Their teachers basically give them assignments on Monday. They're due, if it's a test, middle of the week, they're due by Friday. If there's not a test, they have check-ins, and some of the check-ins are mandatory, some are not. It's been fascinating as their dad to kind of observe the way my three sons have handled this differently. Three identical setups, but three very different approaches. One son, and I'm not going to say names, has sort of had to be forced to work. Takes a lot of pushing, a lot of prodding, a lot of encouraging to get his work done. One of my sons pretty much methodically paces himself throughout the week, does just enough each day so that he's done. And then one of my sons rushes the second the assignments are given to finish everything. A couple weeks ago, it was a Monday night, we were having dinner, and Danielle just asked the boys how school was going, and this son said, well, I'm almost done, I've got a little bit more work to do tonight, and then I'll be finished. And she said, but it's only Monday. Why are you trying to get it all done? And he said something that I'll never forget. And he said something that really resonates with me, and it might resonate with many of you. He said, I'll rest when the work is finished. See, in his mind, he couldn't rest. He couldn't relax. He couldn't stop until everything was done. And as he said that, and as I've reflected that over the last few days and even the last few weeks, it's occurred to me that I live my life that way. For the vast majority of the time, I think that I have to finish all the work that is out there before I can give myself permission to rest. I'm sure many of you feel the same way. But as I've thought about that, it's occurred to me that the work is never done. And maybe you've experienced the same thing. At your office, you can finish most things, but there's always something else you could do. At home, you could finish most projects, but there's always something else that could be done. If you have children, especially small children, you know there's always something else that could be done. So this mindset, while it drives us and it helps us, can end up creating a bit of a challenge for us, especially in a season like this. Because follow me, if we believe that we can't rest until the work is finished, and the work is never finished, that means that we will never rest. And it's no wonder that we find ourselves so exhausted. And I know I can hear some of you, even myself, I want to push back, and I say, but that's the point. When there's work to do, we have to push through. A couple weeks ago, we talked about perseverance. Isn't that the reason we need perseverance? To be able to push through and get the work done. And yes, there are times when we do need that perseverance, and we do need to push through. But today, as we wrap up this series, what I want us to discover is that what God has been promising us all along, and what Jesus has been trying to give us all along, is permission, the ability to rest when there is still work to do. Now, as I said, today we're wrapping up our series, End of My Rope. If you're joining us for the first time today, I'm going to highly encourage you, if you haven't already, download our app, because you can use that, you can go back and you can catch up on everything we've talked about on this series, because we've been discovering Jesus' answer to our exhaustion. And here's what he says. It's an invitation. He invites us. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And he says, I will give you rest. And for the totality of the series, we've been trying to figure out how he does that. Because here's what he told us week one. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take this tool I'm going to give you to make it easier to carry the burdens you have and to free you up to do more. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the different tools, the different gifts he gives us to equip us in this season. Just a quick recap. We learned that he gives us wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to step confidently in the face of uncertainty. We also learned, as I just discussed, that he gives us perseverance, which is the ability to keep going when things are difficult. Last week, we talked about an amazing gift he gives us, which is peace. Peace is the ability to feel calm when things are not. And today, as we're wrapping up this series, I want to talk about one more gift, one more thing Jesus gives us that allows us to keep going and allows us to thrive even when we are tired. And the gift I want to talk about today is so important. It is actually a gift that God has been trying to give us since the very beginning. And here's the word for the gift he's trying to give us, what Jesus is talking about when he said rest. It's the gift of Sabbath. Now, Sabbath is a churchy word. We understand that. Sabbath is actually a transliteration of a Hebrew word, Shabbat. And what that word means is to stop. It means to cease. And so what I'm talking about today is a gift that comes to us from our Heavenly Father, this gift of Sabbath. And here's what that gift does. It gives us the ability to rest when there's still work to do. And if you don't believe that's what Jesus is offering, let's go back to the verse we've looked at this entire time. Let's read it again, because here's what he says. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary, and all of you who carry heavy burdens. And he says, I will give you rest. He doesn't say, I'll take the work away so you can rest. He doesn't say, I'll finish the work so you can rest. He says, come to me when you are tired and I will give you rest. He says, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. I want to give it to you. I want to give you Sabbath. I want to give you permission to rest even when there is still work to do. Now, why does Jesus offer us this? And why is it so important for us to understand what this concept means? Well, to answer that question, we need to go back. We need to go back to before Jesus. We need to go back to the moment in time right after God had delivered the nation of Israel from Egypt and he was taking them to the promised land. If you don't remember the story, God decided to use the nation of Israel, this tribe of people, as an example. It was his way of showing to the world, it is better to follow me. His plan was to elevate the nation of Israel and for all of the nations to say, we want to be like them, what's different? And for everyone to understand it was their relationship with their God. And so what happens is as God is ushering his people from Egypt to their actual physical land, the promised land, he gives them a set of rules. He gives them a set of laws because they are going to be a nation and he wants to establish some rules for that nation. You know these laws. We know these laws as the Ten Commandments. Maybe you've seen a movie about the Ten Commandments. You've probably heard of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were basically the first 10 things that God says, hey, to be my nation, to be my people, to be my example for the world, these are the things I want you to keep. The Ten Commandments are where it says things like do not murder. It says do not lie. It says do not steal. It says do not commit adultery. All these things that most of us understand in our lives that we would never dream of breaking because we understand that's just what people do. And it's in this list that God touches on Sabbath. And you may not have ever noticed this, but actually in this list, number four, before God says, don't kill people, before God says, don't lie, before God says, don't steal, before God says, don't commit adultery, before God says any of those things, he says, this. He says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Number four. He says, hey, if you're going to be my nation, if you're going to be my people, if you're going to be my example to the world, I need you to remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. What is the Sabbath day? We're going to talk about this in a minute. What does holy mean? It means to keep it set apart. That's what he explains. He keeps going. Then he says, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest. It's a day of ceasing. It's a day to stop. And it's dedicated to the Lord your God. And on that day, no one in your household may do any work. So what God was saying to his nation is, hey, if you want to be my people, if you want to follow me, one day a week, I give you permission to stop. One day a week, I give you permission to cease. I give you permission to rest. And we say, all right, God, why is this such a big deal to you? Why would this matter? Why would this be a commandment for your nation that was going to be an illustration to the world of the value of knowing you? Why does this matter? And to answer that question, we have to go all the way back to the very beginning of time, because that's what happens in the next verse. Watch what God explains to us. He says, for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. And that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, here's what God's talking about. As Christians, we believe that God created the world. The biblical account tells us he did this in 7 days. And in days 1 through 6, God creates everything. He creates the heavens, he creates the earth, he creates the land, he creates the sea, he creates mountains, he creates the trees, he creates the animals. And then we're told on day 6, he created us. On day 6, God creates humans. He created Adam and he created Eve, and he placed them in a home he had created just for them called the Garden of Eden. And we believe that when God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he showed them, he said, hey, this is for you, this is a gift for you, but he also gave them an assignment. He gave them a job to do. He gave them work. He said, Adam and Eve, it is your job to take care of this place. It is your job to look out for it, to tend it, to manage it well. That is what I'm leaving in your hands. So days 1 through 6, God works. He creates this great place. He creates Adam and Eve. He brings them and he gives them work to do. And then you know the first thing they did? The first thing they did after receiving this gift and being given their assignment, you know what they did on day 7? They rested. First thing God did for his creation was invite them to rest. He had just given them a job and they hadn't worked a day. And he said, hey, before you get to that, before you start expending energy, before you start giving your effort, I want you to spend a day with me. I want us to enjoy this together, because I don't want you to ever forget that I'm the one who's in charge, that I'm the one that put all this into motion, and that you never have to earn anything from me. The very first gift God gave after he gave life was rest. Adam and Eve rested on their first day. And then maybe you know the story. Something happened. Adam and Eve lost trust in God. They decided they were smarter than God. They disobeyed his command. And that disobedience brought sin into the world. And as we talk about a lot here at Wellspring, sin destroys everything. Sin sabotages and sin separates. And when sin came into the world, their relationship with God was broken, and sin began to corrupt everything God had done. Sin taught man we had to earn God's love. Sin taught man we had to earn other people's approval. And sin taught man we had to earn the right to rest. Because sin is always about destroying. And so if sin can convince us you can rest when the work is done, and sin knows the work is never done,
it can exhaust us. And so that was God's plan from the very beginning, to give rest. And his first iteration of trying to bring that back was through the nation of Israel, when he commanded them to observe a Sabbath. Because again, they were his nation, they were going to be a physical country, and they could do that. But when Jesus was on the earth, his job was to fully, finally, and perfectly finish everything his Father started. And that included rest. And so when Jesus is saying to us, I can give you rest, what he's saying is, through faith in me, through belief that my life, death, and resurrection, through that, through the price I paid on the cross, through coming back to life when I was resurrected, I fixed what was broken in the garden. And not only did I fix what was broken in the garden, we miss this sometimes. What he came to do was restore what was broken in the garden. Through Jesus, as much as possible here and now, we are invited back into that relationship that God had with Adam and Eve. And one day in eternity, we will come back into it perfectly and completely. But for now, what Jesus is saying is, let me fix what sin broke. Let me remind you that because of my Heavenly Father, and because of his love for you, and because of his provision for you, and because of what he wants to do in your life, and because of how active he is in your life, you have permission to rest in him, even when there is still work to do. There's a reason this entire series we've been saying this. We've been saying that Jesus is with us today and working on tomorrow. It's a comfort, it's assurance. And here's what it means, because this statement is true. It means that we can rest because Jesus is at work. We have permission here and now to stop, to cease, to rest, and trust that Jesus is at work. And it is a gift. We do not have to earn it. So, what does that look like? What does that look like here and now? Imagine if we embrace this concept and one day a week we set aside for no work. We set it aside and we dedicated it to the Lord. And that meant we didn't do work in our careers. We didn't do work at home. We didn't do schoolwork. We did nothing but relax and do enjoyable activities, things that restore us, things that rejuvenate us, things that recharge us. We abandoned all responsibility for one day a week and allowed ourselves to recharge. Now, for some of us, that sounds amazing. For others, that sounds horrifying. I understand. If we abandon, who will take over? If we stop worrying, if we stop working, who will take charge? It's a great question. And for me, it's actually one of the points of Sabbath. Because it's only in the practicing of it, it's only in the trying of it, that we discover God can be trusted. I think of it a lot like tithing. And no, don't worry, this isn't a giving talk. But if you're familiar with the concept of tithing, it's the idea that all of our money belongs to God. And to help remind ourselves of that, he asks us to return a portion back to him first. Before we pay bills, before we do anything else, we return the first 10% back to him in an act of trust. And when we do that over and over and over, I've heard so many stories of families who have tried that, not knowing how it would work, but that act of obedience built trust as they saw God provide for them through that giving back first. See, I believe the Sabbath works exactly the same way. That when we choose to trust that we can rest because he is at work, it's in the choosing to trust, it's in the resting that we begin to have our eyes open to, oh, God really is in charge. Oh, God really can handle that. Oh, God really can handle this. And so it's with that mindset that we should walk into this gift, that we should walk into this Sabbath so that we can discover God really can be trusted to keep his word. Now, I hear some of you right now asking, okay, so are you saying I have to take a day off each week? Are you saying it's a sin if I don't? Am I doing something God doesn't want us to do? That just doesn't really work in my schedule. I know for many of our people, like that doesn't work for you because of your jobs. You have many first responders who go to our church. We have firemen, we have police officers, we have doctors, we have nurses. And, you know, you can't always set aside a 24-hour period because sometimes you're on call, sometimes things come up. We have many parents of toddlers and preschoolers in our church. You can't really take a Sabbath from a toddler. Like, it doesn't really work to say, "I'm sorry, honey, mommy's on her Sabbath right now." Like, that doesn't really work. And so how do we make use of this gift if we have to follow this rigid standard of the Old Testament of everybody must take a day off? Well, that's a really great question. And Jesus actually answers that for us. And here's what he says. He says, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people." This gift of ceasing, this gift of stopping, it was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So what he's saying is, look, when my dad gave that command in the Old Testament, he was giving it to a country. He was giving it to a physical, actual nation, and he could make them all stop at the same time. We don't live that way anymore. We're not under that same agreement. So it doesn't work that way anymore for us, and it doesn't have to work that way for us. We are free to interpret Sabbath. We are free to use this gift however it works for us, however we see fit. The point, the importance of it is that we begin to take steps to live in the promise that we can rest because Jesus is at work. We can rest because he is at work. And so the question for us today is, what does that look like for us? For some people, that will be setting aside a literal 24-hour period each week to rest. And if you're able to do that, man, I encourage you to try it because it is a gift from God. For others, that would mean Sabbath afternoons, some Sabbath evenings, some Sabbath hours. You can kind of break it up, but just periods of time where you give yourself permission to stop. For other people, Sabbath is simply a mindset. Sabbath is simply just a tool we have in our arsenal when we feel ourselves overwhelmed, when we feel ourselves overworked, when there's a problem we can't solve, when there's a struggle ahead and we can't seem to work it out. Sabbath is that gift of saying, it's not lazy to stop right now. I have permission from my Heavenly Father to take a break. I have permission to lay this down, say, "Hey man, I know you're at work, I'm exhausted, I need to rest, and I'll get back to you in a little while. I can't wait to see what you are going to do." It's a gift for us, and it's a gift meant to help us. But as we close, I want to give you some tips for how to begin to apply this in your lives. Now, most of these tips are going to apply mainly to if you do this physically, if you set aside a day a week or some hours, but it can also apply to a mindset because like every other tool God's given us, this tool only has value if we use it. It only has value if we try it. So I kind of love to close to give you some tips for successful Sabbath, okay? These are some tips from my life and some tips from other people that I've learned about this idea and how to make use of this gift. Number one, make it a priority. And what I mean by that is put it on your calendar. You have to put it down and say, this is a thing I'm going to do. Specifically, if this is going to be a day or some hours, you have to make it a priority. If this is more of a mindset, you may want to put a note somewhere on your mirror in your car that just reminds you that we can rest because Jesus is at work. Just something where you are reminded that this is okay. And not only is it okay, it is a priority for us. It's something we should do. And after we make it a priority, the next thing we have to do is we have to prepare to rest. Now, I know it sounds like I'm saying finish all the work, but I'm not. But even in the Old Testament, what God would do is he would ask his nation of Israel, he gave them an additional command where he said, "Hey, here's some things I want you to do on the day before the Sabbath to make it easier for you to rest on the Sabbath." Now, again, they didn't finish all their work, but there were a few things, there were key things, there were important things that they needed to get away. So they would usually cook two meals on the day before. They would do two sets of chores on the day before so that they could rest. The way I think about this now, the way this plays out in our life that we're all used to, is think about the last time you or you and your family were leaving for a vacation. like several days, maybe a week, and you were trying to finish everything at work and you were trying to get the house ready to be able to leave. Again, you didn't finish everything that ever had to be done. In fact, you gained tremendous clarity in that moment. What needs to be done before I can leave and what can wait until I get back? And if you remember, those few days before you left for vacation were probably some of the most efficient days you ever had. You got a ton of work done. You weren't distracted. And you were able to walk out into that vacation and go, well, that experience, that practice, that mindset is something God wants to inject into our weekly lives, especially if we're going to take the Sabbath literally. And we want to plan a Sabbath day or a Sabbath hours. He's building in this idea of, okay, what's urgent, what's important, what needs to be finished now, what can be pushed off until it's over so that I am free from distractions as I'm trying to rest and hear from my Heavenly Father. And so not only do we need to make it a priority, and not only do we need to prepare to rest, the third tip I have for you is very simple. The third tip, just do it. Just try it. Just take him up on this offer. Just take a step to trust your Heavenly Father and take a step to trust the promise God made when he created us and the promise Jesus confirmed when he died on the cross and came back to life, that through him, our relationship could be restored back to the way God intended, that we could live in a world created by him for us, yes, with jobs to do, but with an invitation to rest in him. Not because of, but in preparation for the work he has. So this week, what steps can you take? And what steps can I take? And what steps can we take to begin to live this promise? The promise that we can rest because Jesus is at work. Is it a literal Sabbath? Is it setting aside a day? Is it setting aside a few hours? Or is it simply adopting a mindset? Is it inviting a friend or a family member to share that mindset with you? Is it giving permission for someone to speak into you this truth? Hey, we can rest because Jesus is at work. See, this entire series has been about Jesus confirming that in our lives, about rediscovering the gifts he gives us of wisdom to walk on solid ground, of perseverance to keep going when we have to, the gift of peace to feel settled in our souls when nothing else is settled, and to experience the gift of Sabbath, his permission to rest when there's still work to do, his promise that he is not looking down on you, waiting for you to do more, waiting for you to try harder. He's not withholding his blessing. He's not disappointed. He created you to love you. He created you to live in relationship with him. And that relationship begins, not ends, with rest. So as we continue to walk in this season, may we walk in that rest. May we be confident in our ability to move forward and confident in our ability to rest in the Savior who is at work even when we are not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we are just so thankful for your Son, and we're so thankful for what you did and are doing through his life. We thank you that he came to complete everything you started. And God, I pray today as we move into this week, may our minds be taken back to the garden. May we remember that you gave rest first. And when we feel ourselves this week in need of rest, but feeling unworthy of rest, feeling like we haven't earned it, feeling like we haven't done enough, may we hear your Son's voice. May we hear his call, come to me when you are weary. Come to me when you carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Father, may we receive that gift. And may we never be the same because of it. We love you, and we thank you for your Son. It's in his name we pray.